Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Tim Knight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
Hey, it's another show. We're talking about should I turn my property into an Airbnb? Now, I've had lots of people asking about this, and I actually saw someone talking online about how they'd set up their investment property as an Airbnb. And we've had lots of really good case studies on the podcast. So today for fun, I thought, you know what, I'll take one of my properties and let's see what would happen if I decided to turn it into an Airbnb. And by the end of the show, depending on how the numbers go, let's just make the decision live on the podcast. That'll be a bit of fun. So which property would be best as an Airbnb? For me, I own a Christchurch apartment, pretty central.
Very central.
Two bed, one bath. And I've currently got it rented out for $515 a week. Because it's a central city apartment, that's probably the one I'd say if I was going to turn it into an Airbnb, that'd be it. The rest are kind of suburban townhouses, which aren't as central and so I don't think would be as good Airbnbs. So let's start with how much could I get if I rent it out as an Airbnb, Andrew?
So one way to figure that out is use an online calculator. So put in the address. What one do you use?
I prefer the AirDNA calculator.
Do you have to pay for that?
Now, this one I'm pretty sure is free because I was just using it the other day. I've used some Christchurch short-term rental like property managers, and one said that I was going to get $10,000 a month for it, which worked out to be over $300 a night. And I just thought,
that's way too high, I would
like,
think.
You are off your head. Like, that is not going to happen. So I wonder whether they're putting it up to try and make it seem like...
to get you a no-brainer, you should switch, right?
Yeah, but whereas actually I'd probably say that's not very good. So I went to, if you Google AirDNA Airbnb calculator and you just type in your address. So if I pop in mine, we'll see what it says. Okay.
So you enter that in and you put the number of bedrooms and bathrooms in there.
And you put in the number of people who could actually sleep there because that's what Airbnb looks for. And what's it said to me, Andrew?
So their calculator said $226 a night, which seems a lot more reasonable than $300 a night. And they've estimated occupancy of 70%. So that works out to be a whopping $57,700 in income per year.
Seems a lot more reasonable. So what I then did when preparing for this is jumped onto Airbnb and just look at the listings, see what else is out there and kind of figure out, well, the calculator's telling me $226 a night. It sounds about right, but let's go and look at some listings of similar properties in a similar area. Would a tenant actually choose mine over some of these? You know, does that seem like a reasonable rent? In this case, I think $226 a night as an average looks pretty good. And if we just looked at the amount of rent that I could collect, so as a long-term rental, it's getting about $26,000 a year in rent, so just over $500 a week, but we account for some vacancy. For the Airbnb, 70% occupancy, $226 a night, that works out to be almost $58,000. So if I Airbnb it, just in terms of the amount of rent I'll collect, we're estimating it to be over double what I'd get as a long-term rental.
Yeah, big difference. But then you've got to think about, well, what's it going to cost me to run an Airbnb compared to just renting it out long-term? So your long-term rental at the moment, your expenses are about $12,000 a year by the time you factor in rates, insurance, body corporate, etc. Airbnb, obviously you've got extra things like electricity and internet, and you've got Airbnb fee, maybe a higher property management fee, those kind of costs. So your estimated Airbnb cost you've worked out is $27,000. So whilst you're going to get double the rent or more than double the rent, you're also going to have double the expenses as well. And I think one thing that people will forget about is that you also have to furnish the property. So if your property is just rented out to normal people, they're going to have their own furniture. So now you're going to Airbnb it. You need to go and probably borrow some money, put furniture inside the unit, and then you might have a slightly higher mortgage and a slightly higher interest to pay.
Yeah, that's an important thing to point out as well. And I've factored things like, you know, the GST fee. So that's what's called the app tax that is coming in. Higher things like electricity and internet, higher property management, all of those things that are quite important to think about. But if we just look at the numbers, if we think about operating profit, so that is the amount of money you make before you take into account your mortgage. So just your rent minus those operating costs. For my long-term rental, I get 26 grand coming in and I spend about 12 grand on expenses. That means my operating profit is $13,800. Now with an Airbnb, I get double the rent, but it's double the costs. My operating profit is just over 30 grand. So I'd be about $15,000 to $16,000 better off using Airbnb before I factor in my mortgage. It's actually quite large, isn't it?
That's a lot of money.
I didn't expect it to be this big. There are tax considerations. There are, you know, there are some other things I've got to get into. But I was like, oh, wow.
It's pretty sizable. But before you get too excited, let's talk about your mortgage.
Okay, so I'm currently paying principal and interest on this mortgage. Remember, I don't have a main home yet, and so I am paying down principal on one of my investment properties. The mortgage is really low. It's about $265,000. And so, as you said, Andrew, if I turn it into an Airbnb, I'll have to increase that a little bit. But if I look at post-mortgage, post-tax, if I keep it as a long-term rental, I'm going to be topping this property up by $168 a week because the rent doesn't cover all of the costs. If I treated this as a Airbnb, I would probably be up by about $6, $7 a week. So I'd be about $175 a week better off turning this into an Airbnb as opposed to keeping it as a long-term rental. So the Airbnb would cover all of the costs, including the mortgage and payout, you know, kind of $6 a week, which is neither here nor there. You wouldn't take that out. But it's quite convincing.
It's actually not bad. And to think that now you're not only paying your interest, but paying your principal from that property without actually having to dip into your own pocket, I can see how that would be an interesting argument.
Now, one of the things that's important to just remember, though, is Airbnb is higher risk, right? Because the daily rate might not average out at $226 a night, and I might not also get 70% occupancy. It might be higher, it might be lower. And so one of the things I wanted to do was stress test these numbers. So what if the daily rate is really low? Well, to start with, if I turn this into an Airbnb, Airbnb wins if I can get 45% occupancy or above.
Explain that to me again.
So what I've said is, okay, average nightly rate, 226. Occupancy is 70%. So how low would this occupancy have to go to have the same numbers as the standard rental property? And the answer is 45%. So if I get 46% occupancy on an Airbnb at $226 a night, I'm beating, or I've got better cash flow compared to if it was a standard rental. Okay. So that sounds pretty conservative. So I'm like, okay, Airbnb's high risk, but a lot of things would have to go wrong for Airbnb not to win. The other thing that I've done is, well, what if I got 70% occupancy, but my nightly rate was much lower in order to get that? Well, I'd have to take the daily rate down to $145 a night before the long-term rental starts to win. So that's about a 36% decrease in the daily rate. So again, you could say, well, Airbnb, higher risk because there can be some volatility, you know, in the nightly rate, or there can be some volatility in the occupancy. But some things have to go pretty wrong. I have to have a lot of vacancy or a lot of very cheap nightly rates before Airbnb starts to lose. So based on those numbers, I'm actually pretty comfortable with that.
So are you saying you're going to turn this to an Airbnb?
Well, this is where it gets quite interesting. So I'm like, okay, the Airbnb numbers are pretty convincing, actually. I didn't expect to, because remember, we own a property management company called Opus Property Management. We currently don't do Airbnbs, so I'm a little bit biased. I should be telling you all to do long-term rental properties. But this has started to maybe make me think I should change it to an Airbnb. But the issue is I can't right now. So I've just recently agreed to another 12 months with my tenants. I've increased the rent. So I actually can't boot them out right now.
You're locked in.
I'm locked in for about another 11 months. So even if you as a property investor run the numbers and think I should change this into an Airbnb, you might think, oh, well, actually, no, I've got a fixed term contract with my tenants. I actually can't boot them out and turn it into an Airbnb as well. And then if I decide to turn it into an Airbnb, there are a couple of things that I'd need to do first. So I'd need to check with the body corp rules about whether I actually can. And I'd also need to talk to the body corporate manager about insurance. So
that's right.
Why would that be important, Andrew?
Well, because often that insurance policy might be for an owner-occupier or a long-term tenant. It might not be for short-term accommodation, which sounds all well and good until you put someone in there and they accidentally set the place on fire. Now your insurance might be void.
Yeah, or if it was against the body corporate rules, I might risk kicking out some really good tenants, then find that I start Airbnb-ing it, then the body corporate's all angry at me and I can't do it anymore. And then, oh, I've got to get the good tenants back.
But plus, you've bought all that furniture.
Yeah, so those are some things that I'd need to do. Personally, for this property, I'd need to think about access. So this is in an apartment. There's swipe card access to get through the gates. I need to think about, well, is there a keypad there or not? So how would I give the keys to the people who come and rent this out of Airbnb? I'm pretty sure there's no like key thing on the outside. I'm not sure if there's a keypad. So I just need to think through some of these practical things about how am I going to do it? And then also the other thing is it's not consented for Airbnb. So I'd need to ask myself, well, do I want to risk it? Because of course, in Christchurch, the rule is you need to have it consented for Airbnb, which I think comes with commercial rates, so high rates, which I have not factored into my cash flow. So I just need to ask myself, well, am I happy with that risk? Will they hit me up? Will they not? Are they listening to the Property Academy podcast? Or will they track me down? The answer is probably yes. So even if you run these numbers and think, oh, this is actually pretty convincing, there are some very, very practical things that you need to check first.
I do think knowing that up front or making the decision to go spend 20 grand on furniture is a big ask, and you've really got to have this working for a couple of years to be able to repay that. If 18 months down the track, you find that you can't do this or that your rates go up drastically and it no longer makes sense, now you've got a house full of furniture. It's a bit of a pain.
So there's just some due diligence to do first. And if I did want to change though, so let's say I wanted to change this to an Airbnb and I do all of those things, what would the process be of doing that, Andrew?
So I think the first thing I'd do is talk to an Airbnb property manager and just, you know, get a sense check of the numbers that you're running. I'd go furniture shopping and set the property up so that it is able to be rented to an Airbnb guest. I think photos are a big must. So you need to get really high quality photos so that when people are looking online, your property is going to stand out over others. And again, that's something to talk to your property manager about. And you probably just need to accept that there will be some vacancy between when you let your tenants move out and when your Airbnb guests start coming in. So you need to kind of budget for that as well.
Yeah, because you boot your tenants out, then you move your furniture, and that might take a week or even a couple of days. Then you've got to take your photos. By the time you get the photos online, that might be a couple of days, and then people are going to start booking in. So I would just allow some time for it to be vacant.
I'd probably allow a month at least.
That's what I was thinking as well. One other thing I'd just say about Airbnb is I do have some questions in my mind about its sustainability. And what I mean by that is how long is this model going to be around? So these numbers are pretty convincing. But I don't think every single person should go and do Airbnb. Firstly, because if everybody did that, we'd have a rental crisis. And then secondly, if everybody does that, then there's going to be so much competition. It doesn't work out for everybody. But my question around sustainability is always around, like, what's the Christchurch City Council or what are the different councils around New Zealand going to do? And are they going to take a harder line on Airbnbs? The answer might be yes. And so Airbnb might be great this year or it might have been great last year. But is it going to be great for 15 years? The answer may be yes, but I do just have some questions around it. The other thing I'd just be a little bit careful about, and Andrew, I'm sure you'll jump in on this as well, is if you're thinking about buying an investment property and you're working with a financial advisor or a developer or someone, and they're using the Airbnb numbers to convince you to buy it, when you run the numbers on an investment property and you put it through an Airbnb model, the cash flow will look way better than if you rent it out to long-term tenants. So if you're looking at a property, run both scenarios and make sure you're happy with both scenarios. Because what happens if, you know, you do have to pay commercial rates on this investment property if you turn it into an Airbnb, and then you decide, well, Airbnb is not working for me anymore, I've got to turn it into a long-term rental, but then you can't hack the numbers of it being a long-term rental property. So I would run both. And I would still compare it across multiple properties.
Yeah, great. I've seen a lot of developers and financial advisors structuring budgets with Airbnb models. They are way too optimistic in my mind.
Yeah, or the issue is, you know, are you buying this property because it's a good property or because Airbnb is a good model for making your cash flow look better? It could be a dud property, but if you run it through Airbnb for a year or two, the numbers might look quite good. And you might just find out that actually it wasn't a good property to start with. So always run it as if it's a long-term investment property and then consider if it might make a good Airbnb as well. But these numbers are convincing. I think, I don't want to say it on the show, Andrew, because then I'm going to have to do I was going to say I should put out an Airbnb spreadsheet because there are quite
a few. People have been asking you this for a while.
I know.
You've been promising it for a while.
I know, but I realised how complicated it was once I started thinking about interest deductibility, and then I'm on a P&I mortgage and some of those costs are deductible and some of those aren't. Okay, fine, I'll do it. You've convinced me. Eventually, I'll put together an Airbnb calculator.
That's an Ed disclaimer if ever I heard one.
Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come to my upcoming webinar. It's on the 16th of April. And if you are interested in Airbnb, you really need to come along. Because with National's app tax coming in, when you are renting your properties out on Airbnb, you're going to be paying potentially an extra $3,000 or $4,000 to the government. We're going to walk you through this. We're going to walk you through how that interplays with interest deductibility and also the Brightline test as well. Links down in the show notes, so tap or swipe over the cover art. You'll find a link in there, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.